prospering or being prosperous. And that's a theme that the Lord set in while you hear this continuously in church. While you hear this consistently in church, it's a word that is different in different forms, in different households. But as we are gaining momentum, a couple weeks ago I did prayer on a Saturday morning from Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 1. And there were a couple of principles or a couple of things that came to me even as we were dealing with that, and I felt the Lord emphasizing. So we're going to do some of that. There's going to be seed thought, you must go and just explore them for whatever you're going through, because it carries in it, I think, for each of us in our own journey, while we're part of one family, but we're at different places in our journey with the Lord. So you have to know how to take it and apply it, because I do understand that this is going to be something, it may not be for everyone else. People are predicting many things about the year. Our life is always in Christ. Yeah. Okay, you must develop a mindset that tells you that you are in Him, that His plans and purposes for you are the best you could ever get, regardless of the course you have to take. People look at the course and forget the end. You must know that the end is always stronger, greater, better. The course of that journey may not be the way you anticipate it to be. But as we journey, be confident in this. That even in, you know, in my deliberations, in my meditations, I have this excitement. There have been certain things that have been fulfilled. Maybe you don't know it, but you're hearing in testimony. I've journeyed with much of our household through different parts of what you are hearing. At different points. What you're hearing is testimony that we carry all year. We have to give counsel for that. We have to give direction. We have to hear. And thankfully, God gives us the strength to do that. But sometimes you may not know that that's what we're doing the whole year. People are telling us that they're going to lose their houses, losing jobs, losing this. That comes to us as set men of the house, as pastors. And while we are preaching the word, carrying on living, it doesn't mean everything is just going according to plan. There's a lot of burden here. A lot of sleepless nights. Because when God sets you in family and something takes place, you have to quickly wonder when everything is going well, nobody, you know, they say when the salt is okay, nobody notices. Everyone loves the family. Just put a little bit salt. Everyone will tell you, put extra salt. Everyone will tell you. And that's when our belief systems get questioned. And that's when you can go and take a self-righteous position, saying, but Lord, we do everything you ask us to do. Like Job, you accuse God of being unrighteous. But he has a way, because he's a father. And the way he does it is he teaches us over a period of time. So if you will turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, for the next couple of minutes, I just want to dwell there. Please give me the time, as we've been sharing some testimonies, and most of you are going to be having private, having some full time. But I think that this is fundamental for us as our household. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is a book of remembrance. It's the fifth book of the Pentateuch, which are the books of law, which was written by Moses. Instruction was given by God to the nation of Israel because they were exiting a location called Egypt. Egypt had many gods, had systems of bondage and slavery. Egypt, the nation of Israel, initially was a place of great wealth, great prosperity, abundance, favor. Now, as you journey in life, you also have to know that there are times in God when He gives you access to Goshen. Goshen is called nearness. It's a place of nearness where you have the favor of God. You have access to the best. You have no lack. While famine is everywhere around you, you feel bad to say, I have no famine. Sometimes you can feel bad because everyone else is talking about tough times and you don't have tough times. But that's because there's a timing in God where He sets you. Doesn't mean you're unrighteous, but the book of Deuteronomy will open up some things for us. So the nation of Israel travels there, but when they are in Egypt, what was supposed to be meant for a couple of years becomes 400 years. The occupation of a territory, even though it is near, it is not in the perfect will of God. But because there's blessing, because there's abundance, they continue
And in the period of time that they continue, they come under different rulers. These rulers subject them to slavery, make them work very hard. And in that time, it takes them almost 400 years before they cry out to God. I'm going to give you the mindset, because struggles doesn't necessarily mean that you look up to God. You may be doing all of the religious functions, but it took them in the 400 years, and about that time, then they started crying out to God. And at that time, the cry got the attention of God. That means there are times in your life where you can go through tough times, difficult times, and your cry can be based on you just wanting to be delivered out of that position without wanting to change. God had to allow the nation of Israel to come to a place where they were willing to do anything to get out of the situation. But sometimes we pray to God for God to come to where we are, sort us out, but not willing to change, because we think we don't, nothing wrong with us. Nation of Israel found out, no, God says, I'm going to set my people free so they can worship me. The setting free was not because they were slaves. It's because in the old time that they occupied their territory, they forgot what true worship was about. And it wasn't singing songs. They were doing their sacrifices. The worship had become mixed with Egyptian systems, with the way Egyptians were. The worship had been mixed with a slavery mindset, because they were so built on toil and labor. They gave from their toil and labor. They didn't set God apart. So he allowed it to be prolonged in their life until their cry was heard, because it now became sincere that they were ready to turn. Sometimes you can cry to God, but you want God to deliver you without you changing your ways. You must listen carefully, because that's the trajectory. Remember, the intention was always the promised land. Everyone say promised land.
Promised land
is inheritance. Promised land is things you didn't work for. So while we have come into good things, you have not come yet into the fullness of the promises of God. But every time we cry out to God, it is probably because something changes in our environment. But we don't know that our heart and our mind may not have changed also. So the nation of Israel didn't know that. God allowed that perpetual call. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. It says that every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. This is Moses speaking to the nation of Israel. As you know, the book of Deuteronomy is full of remembrance. That you may live, everyone say live.
Yes.
Then say multiply.
Multiply.
And go in, say go in.
Go in.
And possess, everyone say possess.
Possess.
The land of which the Lord your God, or the Lord swore to your fathers. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So wildernesses become locations that God firstly establishes humility. Look at that. That's what people think, they go into wilderness because God has taken them to a tribe. No, he establishes humility. Humility is, I'm serving God. He puts me in a location, I don't understand why, but I submit to it. You see, you can be proud without knowing you're proud. Because you carry on like everything is okay, and maybe you don't have any inclinations. The pride here is not how it's seen in front of people. The pride here is that God wants your attention, he wants your worship, but you're happy with your life the way it is. It has the nation of Israel, I didn't lead you to punish you. I led you to humble you. They were slaves. They were treated badly. They were working so hard. How could they be proud? Ever wondered that? He said, I led you to humble you because you came out of Egypt. But there's pride in you. Do you know you can be proud even in your poverty? You can be proud even when you're working like a slave? You can be proud when you're working very hard. You can take so much pride in your work. You can speak about, you can be so proud that God can lead you to a wilderness. The wilderness is the habitation of demons. That means demons don't possess you, but they're all around you.
They produce strife, contention, breakdown of things. So the first thing he says, I led you so that I would humble you. And why is humility important? You can't access grace without humility. So God is not wanting to humble you, punish you. God wants you to have access to grace. Why did he have to bring you into the wilderness? Because you didn't know you were grace deficient. But you carry on, everything is okay. Didn't know you're grace deficient. Just after humble you, the process is important. Then he says, I have to test you. Why? Testing is to prove you. What's the proof? That you will serve God not just when things are okay. That you will serve him better than okay when things are not okay.
Yes.
That you will jump for joy when things are bad in your house.
Yes.
When your body can't take it, you will lift up your hands.
Yes.
That's why a wilderness exists.
Yes.
To test whether you can praise him, like Liam was saying, you can turn the mourning into dancing and turn your ashes into beauty. Oh, but you can get overwhelmed with your situation. So I want to test whether this thing is proven in you. That you're following me not just because of the food, like Jesus said, because I fed you. Because you really discerned me. Do you know who I am? And he says, to know what was in your heart. Why? The heart is desperately wicked. Anyone says, oh, Pastor, but in my heart, you don't. No, don't say that. The Bible says your heart is wicked. And your heart is not better than mine. You have to know that our wicked hearts can judge God. Our wicked hearts can blame God. Say, God, you're taking long now. Oh, you're not right now. Oh, yes. The deception is, but Lord. You say, but Lord? Why? Like you and I have any authority to question God. No, what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to remain true to God. And I'm not saying we're not human. I know I'll do that. Many times I will be for God. Because we think we qualify. We think we're a little better. And he goes and he says, no, to test you, to know what was in your heart. Here's the last one. Whether you will keep his commandments or not. Humbling, testing, know what is in your heart is to see whether you will keep the commandments despite the environment, despite the lack, despite the trouble, or whether you will compromise the command. Are you with me? Lots of people compromise and they remain in a wilderness longer than they should. They remain in practice because they change the command to suit the circumstance. The command is eternal. The command is the same. What's the first one? You shall have no other gods. That means if work becomes a god, relationship, marriage becomes a god, whatever you desire becomes a god. Do you know that the wilderness is designed for you to understand you're violating the command? Your god is something that takes the place, his place in you. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. That means your house will not become more important than him. If you have to lose it, you have to lose it.
Amen.
But you keep the command.
Yes.
Yeah. What a New Year's Eve message. I'm giving all of this because I'm going to bring it to the starting. So this is very important. It leads you through wildernesses, dry places. Places where you're basically just making, nothing is growing, you're not seeing growth. Oh yeah, you're not seeing any growth. And you're thinking, but tithing is not tithing. In fact, you're 20%,
you're 25%,
you're 30%. Here you are offering, you're giving over and above. He's not interested because everything you have, he gave. But what is he interested in? Can you keep the command? This is the exit from wilderness. Exit from wilderness. So, important things. He says you must remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years. As the Son of God, he leads you. But his leading is intentional. So let me get to a couple of things and say amen.
Amen.
Oh, okay. We're being very soft. So listen to what verse is. So he humbled you. You don't humble yourself. God will humble you. How does he do it? The Bible says he allowed you to hunger. Some things God will make you hang for. That's what allowed you to hunger. He make you hang. Even your husband won't pay attention. Your wife won't pay attention. They'll ignore you. You'll be emotional. You'll be feeling, oh, they don't care for me. Everyone around you will ignore you. They'll leave you hanging. Why? He's allowing you to hunger. He says, do you know how I long for you? Just like you are longing for this thing. But this thing is so important to you, you negotiate me for that thing. How did I fed you in manner which you did not know your father's own, that he might make you know that man does not or shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know that very well. It says, your garments do not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Simply mean, chasten doesn't mean he runs after you. Chasten means he gives you. And how does it give you? It leads you into the wilderness. Okay? You're getting some answers for wilderness? This is what God does. When he brings you into a place where nothing is happening, it's because he's chastening. Now, lots of people think that's bad. No. A father disciplines the son whom he loves. This is the demonstration of the love of the father. You say, no, but pastor, this is tough. Well, let me show you. David was anointed in his father's house before the elders. He was anointed before his brothers. He killed Goliath. He killed the lion. He killed the bear. He served Saul faithfully. After that, he had to run. Where was he located? In the wilderness. For 13 years, David is going through this place. What's this place? He has to be humbled. What's the next thing? He has to be tested. What's the next thing? As the beloved, as one who is a man after God's heart, he has to know what is in his heart. King David, by the way, anointed king, that does not change. But God now has to form him because the wilderness becomes a place of transition, a place of formation. So God is introducing him to this place. He has no answers, but he has to now continue in the wilderness until God finishes the process. He comes to a place where he's tested. And David would have said, but Lord, I was nice and comfortable in my father's house. The few sheep playing my harp, this was my life. Still a boy, I don't need all of this extra. You sent Samuel to my house. I didn't ask to be pastor. I didn't ask to be one of the elders. I didn't ask to be a deacon. You sent them. But the wilderness was the place where formation was happening. God was doing all of this. Okay? So don't despise your wildernesses. Amen? Don't despise difficulties. God is setting you up for promotion. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
It's very important, right? As you journey, and I have good news for you, because we are on the brink, I feel, within our household, we are exiting. Now hopefully everyone who's with me there, because that we, I'm hoping that the body is with the head. Yeah? Because we've been in good places, but the wilderness, you can have supernatural provision, you can have no lack, divine sustenance, anything you want. But there's a better place. You know, tell your neighbor there's a better place. Verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks and waters, of fountains and springs, that will flow out of the valley and hills, and a land of wheat and barley, a land of vines and fig trees, pomegranates and land, olive oil and honey. So, verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. That becomes a clincher. That your exit from a transitional place, an exit from a location called the wilderness, is determined by how you are able to keep every command. Now this is important, because in some of our eyes, you can have one commandment that's greater than the next one. Right? You can choose a preference because that thing suits you, that carries more weight. But actually, in the scriptures, Moses is saying to them, every command which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live. Everyone say, live. This is the benefit of keeping every command. Live. The word live means to live. Say amen.
Amen.
It doesn't mean to exist. It means to have a quality of life. The word live means to have life in you. That means, you know, some people are there, but they are without life. Say, hey, what? There's no life in you. Be filled with life. David was in the wilderness, but he was living. He was going from territory to territory. He was navigating. Joseph was sold. He was sold by his brothers. He was in a location where he was a slave, but he was living. You see, territories mustn't define your ability to live. If you have the commandment of God, you can live. Come on, you must know this, right? Because there's an order here. He said, he doesn't say first you possess the land. He said you must live. The word live also means not only sustain life, it means to have life in you. It means to have life that is free of disease. Oh, you didn't know that. That no matter where you are, you can live because there's a commandment. When you keep the commandment, the commandment even overrides sickness.
Yes.
So everyone of you who has sickness, you must listen carefully to. Because I know this is the word of the Lord. You got to know what the commandments of God, because when you talk about commandments, you talk about instructions, you talk about direction, but the commandments also means doctrine.
Yes.
And he said today.
Yes.
There are doctrines that are released today.
Yes.
That if you are able to keep every doctrine, or you'll have life.
Amen.
You'll live.
Yes.
You won't wait for retirement, you won't wait for the next paycheck,
yes.
You live.
Amen.
Because the commandment brings the resource.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
It'll bring your knight in shining armor.
Yeah.
It'll bring your Susanna, your Joanna. It'll bring whoever. Not my sister. If she qualifies, then you can take it. But it is connected to how you're able to keep the commandment. You just think of yourself. How many times you gave up following the commandment? Because it got too much for you. You think in all of the times when it got too much for you, God was absent? No, it became too much for you because you have to humble yourself and say, Lord, I can't make it anymore. I need you, and you push it to God. At that time, your husband can't help you, your wife can't help you, your parents can't help you, because like Bianca said, it's a journey with you and God. David was separated from his parents, separated from his best friend in Jonathan. Everyone considered him a fugitive. When he took down Goliath, the whole nation was singing. Do you know what a moment that was for David? All nation singing his praises. Suddenly, everyone considered him a fugitive. They believed one word. Do you know when there are times in your life where people start believing words about you? That's the Lord intervening. He's leading you into a wilderness. No one believes you. Everyone seems to be separated from you. No, it's not a bad time. It's the Lord's time. Come on, you must get perspective. You get perspective. This journey will be very important to you. Let me give you some of the other qualities. When he talks to you about you will live, it means you will remain alive. Everybody else will die. You will remain alive. That commandment in you. People can be falling down all around you, but the Bible says, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near. Yeah. This is what happens when you have the power of the commandment in your life. When the word and the doctrine you have received. Listen, we came out of a season where we were institutionalized. We did everything, we loved God, but then he introduced us to a wilderness. And then he started to give us commandments. As those commandments became our belief system, became our way, he transitioned us. Change the course of our life.
Yes.
You got to ask yourself, how many commandments do you know? How many doctrines do you know God gave you? The first one would have been communion.
Yes.
The table of the Lord.
Yes.
Why? It would remind you that you did nothing to earn your position.
Yes.
It would remind you of the victory he gave over sin, over death, over the world, over sickness, over disease, over poverty. So you're not a victim anymore. But if you forgot the doctrine, you forgot the commandment, you stop practicing the table, you'll still have poverty coming into your environment. You'll have covenantal relationships on the rocks. Simply because one simple thing, the table of the Lord, you can't go beyond that. Remember his death, his burial, his resurrection. It became sacred sacrifice. We taught our children, when everyone said, oh, children are not supposed to party. No, we wanted them to remember his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah.
We wanted them to have the advantage. They must say, for this cause, well, not that mention, maybe well, I don't know what. What is it? What will Eliana? She said, what's it? What did he say, Eliana? 1 Corinthians 11, what he says? For I received from the Lord. Yeah. You see, that which was received from the Lord became a commandment. If you don't see it and you see it as part of, we got a culture, you don't realize the militancy involved in it. You see, a commandment or command comes from a commander. And the commander is someone who's associated with a military unit, has authority. When you receive the command and it comes over you, the authority that comes from the commander is the authority you receive. So when you receive a commandment and you do it diligently, daily the families are gathered together. Listen, no one who is practicing the table of the Lord, let me tell it to you again, I'm not hiding anything. No one who practices the table of the Lord as one of the doctrines, the commandments we have received, will live in poverty if they do it regularly and they keep every commandment.
Amen.
I can tell you that. Because Jesus died to break the curse of poverty.
Yes.
He didn't just come, he became poor so that we could become rich. Tell me, how rich are you? No, I tell you, God's word can't fail. That's why I'm saying to you, you've got to wrestle with this thing. What is the other thing about remaining alive? You are quickened, that means your body receives rejuvenation. Aging is coming into you, but because you keep the commandments, suddenly there's a vitality that comes upon you. Hey, this is what it says. That's why I'm also saying, every commandment I command you, you can break the curse of disease, sickness over your prevailing over your body, because you know the validity and the power of the commandments of God. That's how it's defined in the Hebrew. That it gives you, it quickens you. That means while you were slowing down, while your body seems to be shutting down, organs seem to be failing, suddenly an alignment with the commands of God quickens everything, regenerates it. Now, if you don't believe that, you'll say, I'm getting ready to die. He gave us a way to live.
Yes.
What are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? The Bible says of Moses, 120 years, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years where else? In Pharaoh's house. And when he was going to die, he was as strong as ever. Eyes bright. Strength within him. Why? He received the commandment. He was teaching the commandment. He walked in the commandment. 120 years old. Some of us are not even 1/6 of that, not even 20 years old. Can't make it. Because there's an extraordinary source of life. Life is in the Word. Come on, say it. The life is in the Word. Oh, you got any? I don't know if you got sicknesses that's been lingering over you for a long time. Have you? Any hands? You see? Yeah, I'm telling you today. You decide. The commandment, you stick by it. It'll bring healing to you. This is what it says: to have life, to continue in life, to remain alive, to sustain life, to live on, to live prosperously, to live, to be quickened from sickness, to be quickened from discouragement, to be quickened from faintness, to be quickened from death, to preserve life. God is interested in you living. Don't get tired of living. You understand? God is interested in you living. Why? The living is the initiation of everything else. You must never ever get to a place, whether you in Timbuktu or whether you in Kwamashu, I'm going to eat alive now, right? Or whether you're in Phoenix Unit 2. Those environments must not dictate the quality of life.
Yes.
If you have the commandments of God, the doctrines that you are receiving today, if you are faithful to them and everyone you keep it, let me tell you, He is compelled to respond to you.
Yes.
So this year has to be, this, as we enter into the new year, it has to be a year that defines you and the word of God in you. Because Isaac showed us, you listen to the commandment. What was the commandment? Stay in this land. That was the command. Isaac went, so, thinking about that this morning, there is nothing in the Bible that said rain came. Absolutely nothing. The Bible didn't say that God showed favor. He stayed under the commandment. The Bible says in that year he reaped the hundredfold.
Amen.
The Bible doesn't explain how.
Yes.
It just tells us, now that is a sign.
Amen.
Yeah? You say, pow! In that year, that means you don't need the natural elements of the earth to water your seed.
Yes.
When you are able to keep to the commandments of God, it will grow because the word can't return void.
Yes.
Now imagine if that word is in you.
Yes.
If that word is in you, nothing can keep you down.
Yes.
You'll break through dry ground. You'll break through fallow ground. You'll break through famine ground. You'll break through drought. Because that seed just received the obedience of Isaac and it broke through.
Yes.
The seed of God's word in you must break through anything. But you're going to get tired of a dry spell. You've got to make sure you're living the commandment. How did Isaac embrace it? Let me show you how. Isaac's name means laughter. He embraced the word with joy.
Amen.
Lots of people are not experiencing, okay, God, you said it's a mistake. Like giving God a favor. No, you must know how to receive the word of God with joy. You must know how to receive it with sacrifice. I see, you didn't have to talk to him about humility. When his father said, come son, let's go. What are we going to do? We're going to sacrifice the Lord. Yes, Dad. Early in the morning, Abraham got it. Guess who was up with him? Isaac. The father and son walking together. Early in the morning, the father is up. Guess what the son was? Where the son was?
Amen.
Let's journey together to Mount Moriah. Not Mount Moriah. To Moriah. Because separation takes place. Let me show you how this happens. Very important. When they come to the foot of Moriah, servants stay behind.
Yes.
You determine whether you're a son or a servant.
Yes.
By where you position yourself.
Amen.
In the commandment of God.
Yes.
You've got to journey the whole way.
Yes.
And when you get to the top after being tired of walking, get ready to be put on the altar.
Yes.
You're not doing something extraordinary. Yes. Oh, you're that quite individual. Yes. But do you know that you can define yourself as a servant or a son based on how far you journey together with the Father? Abraham made the distinction. He said, no, servants, you stay behind. The slaves can't make this journey. This journey is for a son and a father. He said, define your relationships. Because one of the commands we've got is, the table of the law shows you covenant. The command we know is covenant. The covenant for us is not contractual. Covenant is bloodshed. Let me explain that to you. Leviticus 17 says, life is where? In the blood. When blood is shed, your life is poured out. So his life can fill you. How many of you know, when you cut and you're bleeding, it's painful. Can't come bandage it. Hello? Can't bandage it. Why? We need the blood to leave you so his blood can fill you. When you stop the bleeding on your own, you're refusing the life from above. Come on, bleed. Say, leave me blood, so that the life of the word can flow. I'll hang on to his word. That's what the woman with the issue of blood said. She saw the end of his garment. She said, I don't want to get crushed. Firstly, she was unclean. She disqualified because she was unclean for 12 years. She was unclean. No man could come near her. No one wanted to be here. There was a stench around her. She was a stench, she was weak. She should just be waiting to die. She had one chance from God to get a glimpse of something that he was wearing. You got a glimpse of his face. You got a glimpse of his grace. You got a glimpse of his mercy. Tell me how you are dragging yourself along the ground to get to that point. She said, nobody told her. She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment. She became desperate. She knew trampling was one of the issues she had encountered. Come on, you tell me, I'm so tired, Pastor. I couldn't make it up. I got late. No, no, you're going to get to a place where he's going to leave you for 400 years, then he's going to hear your cry. He could have heard it. You're telling me God didn't hear it from the first day he saw the cry? No, you just want relief from the pain. You don't know that you're wrong, the Father. You don't say no. 2025 has got to be your year for living.
Yes.
Don't sit in your room anymore.
Yes.
Don't clock your ears anymore.
Yes.
Don't get stuck to DVDs and CDs. Live.
Amen.
I started living a couple of years ago when we started driving in Mazul and Natal and realized we got animal parks. We got parks, we got waterfalls.
Yeah.
We only think we got malls. You don't live because you think, hey, I don't like that. Then you want to be over God's creation. Are you going to rule over something you don't like? You don't like it because that's your preference. But you like it because it's His. And if you're going to have stewardship over it, you better know what you're going to have stewardship over. Get to know your country. Get to know your land. Don't say, hey, Pastor, we got no money. No, we also don't have any money. But if you can trust God, He can show up. What you going to do? Everyone say, plead. Let your life run out. Because your life is affecting the way you function.
Yeah.
We have to walk by faith, not by sight.
Yes.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord to do?
No.
Okay, I've got 5 minutes more. Everyone say, hey, hallelujah. I'll make it. It's still the same thing. You see your heart. Know what's in your heart. Hey, listen, this is the only word. This thing. You just jumped at me, I got the other part, I'll tell you how that works, I'll give you quickly. But live.
Amen.
The word for us 2025, live.
Amen.
Live because you're alive.
Yes.
Live because you got the command of God and you just believe God.
Yes,
you're going to wake up with pain, you're going to wake up with difficulty, there's going to be no money in your bank, but live nevertheless because all you have is the word of God.
Yes. Amen.
You got to live.
Yes. Amen.
I'm not going to live your life for you. I have to live my life. I always started making some decisions that are actually very giving me palpitations. I haven't even entered 2025, but I've got palpitations for 2025 into at least August. Because I decided I'm going to live from the promise and the word of God. Decided. Give you every command so that you can live. I like that. I've seen people who are walking and they are dead. They got excuses. They got reasons why. And they think that that's very humble. They don't know. We lead you to a wilderness to humble you. Because you don't live by your resource. If you do, then of course you can't do many things. You live by His strength, His word. Now listen. Why am I I'm emphasizing live? Because after live is multiply. You don't live because you multiply. You multiply because you live.
Yes.
Oh, go see the order, right? Is it? You must be careful to observe so that you may live, multiply, go in, possess. Not because you possess, you start living.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You have the commandment, start living there. You know, I can tell you that because for 18 years I rented. I moved 6 times. But every time I moved to a house, while I wanted my own house, I lived. That house became my house.
Yes.
I did everything I could do in it. I painted it. First thing I would go to, I painted it. And we get expensive paint. At the risk of knowing that we may be kicked out in a month's time, in a couple of months' time. But I live knowing that God made a provision.
Yes. Yeah.
See, you don't have a house, doesn't mean you're not supposed to live.
Yes.
But how are you supposed to live? Live like a king. Express His kingdom. Express the excellence of God. Don't keep blaming your circumstances. No. You mean you're an unbeliever?
Yes.
You got the commands of God, but you don't believe His word.
we started with money? No, no, no. Because God never intended for you to live from money.
Yes.
He intended for you that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Oh, he has given you the word. Now, well, what's your excuse for not living? Oh, pastor, we're saving. Oh, he'll take it away. Sickness will take it away. An accident will take it away. A thief will take it away. Death will take it away. No, no, no. We save. We do all of those things. Oh, but there's no compromising on living.
Yes.
Because everything I am is a reflection of a kingdom. Now, here's how we're closing. Every commandment is the will of God. God communicates His will through words. The will of God is that the kingdom must manifest on the earth. Heaven must manifest where?
Yeah.
On the earth. Oh, you know that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is where? So when God gives you a command, He wants you to have heaven on earth. You think it's stifling you, it's robbing you. No, He's letting the will of God, which comes through command, let heaven manifest in your earth. When last you had heaven on earth? It's been available all the time. It's just in commands. But what's the natural inclination of men? Ask Adam and Eve. Get a commandment. You listen to another voice. Yeah? All God said is, don't eat from that tree. Oh, God can't know everything. And then what happens? Do you know you can have that with a spiritual father? Because Moses was speaking as the sent man, as the servant of the Lord. So easy to shift from commandments because it doesn't come to the right sound that you like. What's the commandments of God? Autonomy. What is autonomy? Pastor don't have to be running behind you all the time. Oh no, we can teach you how to come boldly to the throne of grace. So you can have a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm not your mediator, Jesus is. Yeah, I'm just like you. We all go to the throne of grace. But you've come into a season of autonomy. Autonomy means you can come boldly at any time because God is your Father, you are His Son. But autonomy has one very important aspect. It is self-governing. That means we don't have to police you. Is that right? I teach you the word of God. You will receive it today. What you do with it is your endeavor. Yes? That's autonomy. That's self-propagating. Is whatever you have received, you believe it, you propagate it. You put it into other people, you teach others. Then self-supporting. This is the most powerful thing. Autonomy is as you learn to live from the doctrines of God, the commandments of God, you need no one to support you. You can support yourself. We had to learn that when we started the church. We didn't need any outside church. We had to build from zero. And God showed us how our household is built on the commandments of God to be self-supporting. But autonomy is wrapped up in all of this thing. Self-denial. That as God gives you the liberty to come boldly to the throne of grace, as He gives you self-propagating principles, self-governing, He gives you all of these principles, the fundamental is self-denial. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and amen? There's some things I want to break down in commandments, but I can't tell it to you today because you forget it. It's just not fireworks or law. But here's the word I want to tell you. Every commandment, I command you. Every man. You must carefully observe to do. You must carefully observe to do that you may live. If in 2025 you take the time to carefully observe the commandments, the doctrines that God gave us, you will enter a new dimension of life. Jesus said, I have come. He is the word, he is the commandment, he is the law of God. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant. This is the intent of the commandment. This is the intent of the militancy. You see, when the commandment comes, you can't be casual about it. You will not access that. The commandment comes from the commander. God is now acting in his authority. He's acting in his position that has royal legality. He's the king that's decreeing something. When you receive it like that, it gives you the quality of life that is super abundant. Oh, you can't work this thing out. It's all in the command. Tell your neighbor, it's all in the command. This must be your year to live.
Yes.
Amen? Live. You will have, let me tell you now, for you to live, a lot of death will come around you. Yes? To live, a lot of death will be. When I say death, I don't mean people may physically die, but death means your question, separation from God. It will seem like God is separated from you, it seems like everything's done. What's the intention? To lean on the word completely. Because the word will prove true. Are you with me? Things will go wrong. That's okay. Jesus is with you. You're going to live. Because you're going to learn a quality of life that does not come from the earth. It comes from one word from God. And I feel for our household, we're stepping into some stuff. That life will then determine multiply. The word multiply means to become great. The word multiply means to have more of you. The word multiply means to be resourced. Then it means you will go in. God doesn't want you to go in without resource. God doesn't want you to go in when you're not living, because you bring the same spirit of death into something that he ordained to be filled with life. Many of you are missing your promotions, missing your increases, all because the living is not there. God can't take death into something that has his life in it. Oh, I hope you're getting that. This whole living is to live by his word, to believe, because you go into any place with that spirit of minginess, stinginess, uncertainty, optimistic about everything, always negative in everything. No, you won't allow, you'll see, but you won't enter. Because what has to enter and what has to inhabit the promises is the life of God, which he has given to you through his word. You ready? Oh, you are really ready to change. This is a big year for us.
Amen.
Oh, 2025 is a big year for us. Because I'm turning 50.
Yeah.
I'm turning 50. I told God, Jubilee.
Yes.
Things that were stolen will be returned.
Yes.
Yeah. You see, for you, maybe, you think, oh, the pastor will be old now, we need a new pastor. Play with me. I'm entering my best time in my life. I'll be the fittest I've ever been.
Yes.
Strongest I've ever been. Because he told me, you got the word, you live.
Yes.
You may be entering 60, you may be entering 70. You can live by your sickness and your disease.
Yes.
But the commandment is given for you to live.
Yes.
Tell me now how to live. Come on, you must want this thing. What you've been doing so far has not been living. It's been nice, but it's not been living. Think about God. He took David and he made him sit on the throne. Took Joseph, made him a ruler over Egypt. Took Daniel and made him know what the dream of the king is.
Yes.
Oh, there's a living that's far higher than the wise men of Babylon, far higher than any magician in Egypt, far higher than any king that's ever been on the face of the earth. That same grace has been given to you because he has made you a kingdom of priests.
Amen.
He's set it in you. Now, kings, let's stand. Let's stand. I want you to declare today in an environment where we know the word of the Lord is. Say, Lord, I want to live. That's not a bad request. Come on, you want to live. You want to have a quality of life. You don't want to be a slave to the system that's working day in, day out. What time, everything just takes you. But you want to know that there's a way given to you. It's given in the command of God. You got to know the commandments are given for your liberty, for your healing, for your deliverance, for everything you've been praying for. Maybe you've just been praying and thinking that prayer is going to answer it. No, he didn't give you a prayer, he gave you a commandment.
Yes.
You got to know what it is. You got to take it, make it your own. You got to study it. You got to believe it. You got to declare it and start living.
Yes.
Come on, raise up your hands. Talk to the Father. Father, in this environment, let death not enter us. Let the spirit of death not be amongst us. Let us not live by what we see, Lord. Your word has come to us. It has brought faith to us. It has brought life to us. It has brought a new perspective. Today we pray over our household, Lord. Let the living of God start. Let the abundant living start. Let the life from above start. Let heaven manifest on our earth wherever we are. Because the commandments of God are given to us. We pray today, Lord, territory will be as though we were hopping over it, Lord. Because nothing will hinder us. We pray, Lord, that you will bring our enemies and they will bow down before us. There will be no resistance because the command of God is in his sons. Thank you that the sons of God will arise. Creation will respond only to the sons of God because in store with them today is the doctrine that comes from above. We pray today, O Lord, that they will access thrones, that they will access kingdoms, that they will access economies, Lord, that belong to a previously advantaged people. But now we are the sons of God. And I thank you, O Lord, that you will remove every obstacle. Oh Lord, may we live, Lord. May our household enter into a time of living. Unexpected, unusual life, Lord. Things we have never even imagined. I thank you, O Lord, for this grace. I thank you, O Lord, for new zeal, new vitality. I pray that we will not be slowed down. We pray over everyone, Lord, who has sickness in their body. We pray today, O Lord, that as the command is hidden in their heart, thank you that sickness will flee, disease will leave them. Thank you, Lord, that strength will come to the weak, O Lord. We pray today, O Lord, that no task will be too much for us. I pray for minds, Lord, that will come under the instruction of God's word. Minds, Lord, that will be sharp, that will bring wisdom from above, that will bring solutions to problems. We thank you, O Lord, that you will have a people on the earth that are sought out. Oh, because they love the commandment of God. Because the command is hidden in their heart. Because, Lord, they stand up wherever they are and they are representatives of a kingdom that is higher and greater. Thank you for your word, Lord. We will live today. We will live in the abundance of your word. We will live from today onward, Lord. We will not be afraid, Lord. The land may change, the dollar may change, but our God, he will cause us to live above all of these things. Thank you, Lord. You will give us insight, Lord, into the economies of the nations. You will cause us to know a thing before it comes to pass. Thank you, Lord, that you will preserve us from every thief, everyone that comes to rob us. Thank you, Lord, that no one will hinder what is meant for us, Lord. Let it be released. Because today, Lord, we live from you. We live from you, Lord. We live by your word, Lord. And today we thank you that the life in Christ is the life in us. And it is a powerful life. It is an abundant life. It is a glorious life. It is a resurrected life. It is a life from the throne. Oh Lord, we thank you. Thank you for our family. May grace abound to us. As we come to the table, Lord, what else can we say? You established it all for us. Thank you for this wonderful communion. Who are we, Lord? Like we were reminded, what is man that you are mindful? Thank you that you received us to yourself. You didn't locate us in any location, but you received us to yourself. And through the shedding of your blood, we have been brought near. Like we are reminded today, we can come near, boldly. We can draw near to you and you will draw near to us. Oh, what a great salvation. Thank you, Father. Thank you for saving us. Thank you today for giving us hope. It's not over. It's only beginning. And we thank you that you set your word. Thank you for the Son that was obedient. May we be sons that are obedient. Even in instructions that may require us to die. Yet we are confident, Lord, that the life will never run out of us. And we thank you that as we partake of these emblems, we partake of the fullness of Christ. And the Bible tells us that Christ was full of grace and truth. Today we partake of the fullness of grace and the fullness of truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come